There's no place like home. No place like home. I had to leave for about 2 weeks. I miss Greater for so much. It's no place like home. I love this place. It's always a joy to come back and to share with you all. If you've got your Bibles on tonight, we'll be coming from 1 Samuel chapter 17. Can I use this one? Amen. Jesus. I have a confession to make. As we were doing praise and worship, I look back and as I should have been praising, I do my normal turn to make sure I'm not on the screen so I can do what I want to, because it makes me nervous whenever the camera's on me and I'm trying to worship God. And turned around and it said, Reverend Sean, S-H-A-W-N. And ever as long as I've been alive, my pet peeve is when somebody misspells my name. So what do you do when you have to preach? You run off the stage in praise and worship, and you run upstairs and beg Miss Linda if she'll change it. And God bless her, she did. So Linda, I love you. Thank you so much. You made the man of God very happy. Thank you, Linda. Love you. 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's a long chapter. I want to read all of it, but I won't. We'll be pulling some excerpts on tonight, and then we'll just be coming back to it periodically. So if you've got 1 Samuel chapter 17, let's begin at verse 4. 1 Samuel 17, verse 4. It says, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing about 5,000 shekels, or about 125 pounds. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels, about 15 pounds. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Flip over and look at verse 45. We're going to talk about all that good stuff in between, but the big thing, verse 45. David said to this Philistine Goliath, you have come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took out of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Tonight, let me pray for us, actually. God, thank you for who you are. God, that we are in love with you. What a privilege it is, God, to be in love with you. Father, we thank you that you are indeed faithful. You are faithful to protect, faithful to provide, faithful to just be God in our lives. Father, we pray on tonight that you would send your Holy Spirit ahead of all of us. God, open our hearts and open our minds. We want to hear from you, God. I pray for clarity and for wisdom, God. Speak, Jesus. That's our prayer. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk from the subject, fighting your giants or facing your heroes. Fighting your giants, facing your heroes. We live in a world inundated with heroes. We love them. We look for them. We seek out groups of people, and then we look for the one that has, quote unquote, the most amount of skills, the biggest person, the strongest person, the most gifted person, because that's the one that we want to follow. We have attributed the hero status to policemen and to firemen because they go above and beyond the call of duty. They risk their lives each and every day. It's a part of their job. Policemen will take a bullet for a person, and a fireman will run into a burning building to save someone they've never seen before, a person they've never met, and so we call them heroes. But not only that, we are in a season of fictional heroes as well. And for those of you all who know me, you know I love comic books, and this is the best time to be a comic book fan. It's a bunch of comic book movies coming out right now. You got Batman, you got X-Men 3 in 21 days exactly from now. So after midweek service on the 28th, I'm going to see Superman 5. I'm driving from the church to the movie theater. Superman is my favorite character. I love him. We are in this season of superheroes, right? And I love Superman for a reason. Superman is amazing. He's always arrested me. He's arrested the world since he first appeared in 1921. He was the very first comic book character. I love him. I love Superman. It's just something about him, though, that just makes me excited. He's 6'5". I'm 5'9". He weighs 2 tons. I don't. He's got superhuman strength. He's got all these gifts. He's got all these skills. And people look for him. These comic books and these movies, they look for those heroes. They don't do anything until the hero shows up. We're not going to make a move until the hero comes. When the hero comes, that's when their confidence comes all of a sudden. That's when they get excited. That's when they think, we can win this thing, right? And so if you look at these movies, if you look at the comic books, when Superman gets ready to appear, everybody gets nervous when that big red S starts to pop up all of a sudden. Because unless you're a good guy, you know something really bad is about to happen to you, right? That's what happens when these superheroes show up. Everybody's like, oh, we're going to be in trouble, right? But the question then becomes, what happens if you have to fight a hero? What happens when all those gifts and abilities that you admire, that you love so much, someone else has, and that's your opponent? What happens when you have to face that person? What happens when you have to fight that hero? That's the question that David is facing right now. David has to fight the hero of the Philistines. We described his character traits to you, right? He's 9 feet tall. This guy is huge. And David's like, this is the person that I have to face. This is the person I have to fight. And I don't know about you, but I've got one or two Goliaths in my life. I've got one or two giants in my life. And they don't have to be persons. They can be circumstances. They can be situations. And I'm not talking about just the little bitty stuff. I'm not talking about the one-inch problems, the things that we don't even pray about. I'm talking about the 9-foot-tall dilemmas, the things that keep us up at night, the things that don't let us sleep, the things that make us pray over and over and over again and at the same time doubt that God can do it. I'm talking about the Goliaths, the giants in our lives. That's what David had to face. David looked at him and said, oh my God, what am I going to do? And I think there are just three things I want to show you on tonight that talk about and teach us how we can face and fight these giants in our lives, how we can overcome the Goliaths in our lives. My best friend is 6'9", weighs about 350 pounds. That's probably why he's my best friend. I love him to life. I met him when I wasn't saved, so when I used to go to clubs all the time. He's just a fun person to take with you because you can pretty much do anything you want. And ain't nobody gonna mess with you because he's that big. And but the fun thing about Brent is he's 6'9", he's really, really, really tall. But because he's so tall, his arms go out really, really, really wide, right? Most tall people, proportion-wise, their arms extend out. And so the question then becomes, if you've got a Goliath in your life, a Goliath is not a person but a circumstance, I'm willing to bet that he's intimidating you not only vertically but also horizontally. The Goliaths in your life are probably affecting your relationship with God, and they're also probably affecting your relationship with other people. Am I right? That's what a Goliath is. He's intimidating on all fronts. And if we're going to overcome Goliaths, first and foremost, we've got to get the right perspective. I love this woman that came down and shared and gave her testimony about where she was when she called out to God for the first time. It struck my heart so much because today is June 7th. It's a really special day for me. It's my late grandmother's birthday. It's my spiritual mentor, the man that led me to Christ, Corey Tabor. It's his anniversary today. And today my mother celebrates 4 years clean and sober from drugs, so I know what that's like. Not personally, but I've seen it firsthand for most of my life, so I applaud that. We've got to get the right perspective about things. That's the biggest thing that hindered these Israelites. Look at verse 25. It says, now the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from paying taxes. So I don't like Ben. So here's the situation we've got. In the Old Testament, the Philistines are always coming trying to fight the Israelites. We see it from Exodus until Matthew. It's just throughout the Old Testament, the Philistines are always trying to fight the Israelites. And at the beginning of this chapter, they decide they want to fight the Israelites yet again. And verse 1 tells us that the Philistines, rather, are on top of this hill called Succoth, and the Israelites are on the other side of this hill, and there's a valley in between them. And so for 40 days, they are screaming at the top of their lungs, yelling back and forth at one another. Goliath comes out every day, morning and evening, and he yells at these Israelites, telling them who he is and how he is going to kill them if they make a move. And no one wants to make a move because if you go through the valley, it's going to be an uphill battle trying to fight someone. So they're both waiting for somebody to make a move. But the problem with this is the Israelites forgot who they were fighting with. The Israelites forgot who was behind them. Yes. If you look at this text, when Goliath comes, he says, aren't you all servants of Saul? And then when these Israelites, when they're talking to David about what's going on, they say, look how he comes. Look how he challenges the Israelites. Look what he does to us. Look how he's always in our face. He's threatening Israel's kingdom. He's threatening us. They recognize that Goliath was a threat to them and only them. They forgot they were fighting for God. They forgot that there's a history of God moving in their lives. They forgot that they are descendants of the ones that God brought out of bondage from the Egyptians. They forgot that they are descendants from the ones who God parted the Red Sea to let them get to the promised land. They forgot that they were the ones who God allowed the ark to dry up the river Jordan in order for them to get to what God wanted. They forgot that they are the ones who went all the way through Joshua and only had one problem in which some people got killed, but other than that, God made a way every single time. They forgot that God is the one who was providing for them. They forgot God was the one that was protecting them. And so when Goliath came, they panicked. What do you do when Goliath comes in your life? What do you do when those giants come in your life? Do you forget how faithful God has been? Like LaKendra was talking about, that you serve a faithful God who never gives up on you, who doesn't remember your past sins, who looks beyond your faults to see your needs. What do you do when Goliath comes? Do you look back in your history and see your track record, your rearview mirror of how faithful God is? Or do you panic? Do you get nervous? Do you think that this obstacle is your obstacle and your obstacle alone? So that's what's hindering these Israelites. 40 days, they didn't move because they thought if they moved, Goliath would kill them. Where is Goliath stopping you? Where is he stopping you from getting what God wants for you? Where is he preventing you from getting God's choice blessings for your life? We've got to get the right perspective, and that's what differentiates these Israelites from David. Look at verse 26. So a quick background. So they've been waiting. They're on top of these hills 40 days. They're arguing back and forth. No one's moved. Saul hasn't moved, this mighty king. No one's done anything. David's father, Jesse, sends him to his brothers with some food. He says, give me a report of what's going on. And this time, David hears Saul give this rant and give this rave, and all the other Israelites are like, oh, there he goes again. We can't move. What are we going to do? This is what David says. Verse 26, David asks the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Big difference. Big difference. Oh, my God, Goliath is coming to attack the Israelites. Who is this nobody that comes to defy the armies of the living God? It's about your perspective. We've got to remember this is bigger than us. Goliath isn't just stopping you. He's stopping what God wants to do in your life. He's stopping the kingdom work that God wants to do in your life. He's stopping the people that will get saved because of your testimony, because of the yeses that you say to God and the noes that you say to your sin and to yourself. When we choose to be obedient, when we choose to get the right perspective and realize that God is fighting for us, that if God is for us and who can be against us, oh, that's a different perspective. That's a different perspective. We recognize then that God is fighting for us, that this Goliath isn't stopping me. He's stopping God. And we know he can't stop God because my God can do anything. In my BC days, I'm 5'9" and probably weigh the same thing I weigh now, which is about 135 pounds. And I used to go to the club. There's another guy, his name is Dottrell, about 1 inch taller than me, about 5 pounds more. I'm 5'9", 135. Trail's about 5'10", 140. Two of the smallest, skinniest dudes you'll ever see in your life. Not intimidating at all. We used to go to the club and try to get in, try to walk by people. It'd always be packed. Excuse me. Not intimidating. Nobody's moving. Excuse me. Got to brush around people. Excuse me. Nobody's moving, right? Not a threat. So what we decided to do is, remember my friend Brent, 6'9", 350? Brent, come on, go with us. So we start taking Brent with us. And when you got somebody big behind you, oh, you get bold all of a sudden. So we'd walk in. Excuse me. It wouldn't move. So we start pushing people. And people turn around, they book, they get ready to fight. And that's when you turn around, you point at Brent, and they're like, and that's what happens when you have the right perspective. When you realize there's a giant in your corner, yes, there's a giant in front of you, but there's a bigger giant behind you. When you realize that God is fighting with you, fighting for you, fighting through you, and fighting because of you, oh, you get bold all of a sudden. You get excited. You don't mind walking up to that storm and kicking it out of the way because you know you're kicking with God. You know that God is kicking through you. You know that God is fighting for you. You've got to get the right perspective. Every once in a while, you got to turn around and look in your rearview mirror. Go back through your journal and see how faithful God has been. Go back to those points in your life when you were really down, when you were really depressed, and you saw how God picked you up and pulled you up out of that thing, when you saw that God made a way out of no way, when God made it so hot that you got to ride the bus for free. You've got to go back and look and see how faithful God has been, that you've got a giant fighting in your corner. You've got to get the right perspective. That's what separates David from these people. David didn't say Goliath is fighting me. He said he's fighting my God, and I know he's not going to win. That's the perspective we need to have. They're not fighting me. They're fighting God. You got to get the right perspective. Not only that, but we've got to get the right weapons. We've got to get the right weapons. As you trek through 1 Samuel, we find out that Saul is the tallest of the Israelites. Chapter 9 and verse 2 tells us that. Right before that, Israel decided that they wanted a king. And so Saul is chosen because God appoints him that, but he also is chosen because of his appearance. Saul is the tallest of the Israelites. It says that his head stands out like no one else's. And so logic would dictate, one, if Saul is the king, and two, he's the tallest Israelite, that means he ought to be fighting the biggest Philistine. The biggest person fighting the biggest person. But something different happens. Saul freaks out. Saul gets scared, and we see that happen because right here it says, he comes out in verse 25. See how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from paying taxes in Israel. Saul uses his authority and his power as a king to try to bribe someone else to fight his battles. And we know Saul was scared because after Goliath got through giving that first speech in which he scared everyone, it says, Saul and the Israelites, upon hearing this, were dismayed and terrified. And then the second time around, it says that when they saw Goliath, they took off running in fear. Didn't even mention Saul's name again. Saul had more fear in Goliath than he had faith in God. Dare I even say that his fear was more potent than his faith. So let me ask you this. What do you believe? Do you believe that the Goliath that's in front of you, that God can remove that obstacle? Do you believe that God can provide for you? Do you believe that God can make a way out of no way, that he can answer that prayer request, that if necessary, he can literally open the doors of heaven and provide you with exactly what you need, with a car that you don't have to pay for, with free rent and a nice apartment in a nice side of town, that your kids will be able to go to the best schools regardless of how much money you make? Do you really believe that if you pray and ask the God of heaven that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or even possibly imagine? Saul didn't. Saul freaked out. Saul said, he's coming to fight me. He can kill me, and I'm not going to face him. And this false faith that Saul even had, because Saul put more faith in Goliath than he put in his God, he tried to brush off onto David. Look at verse 38. So after Saul gives his little speech, and David recognizes, you know, wait a minute, no, Goliath isn't going to do this. This is my God we're talking about here. I'll go fight him myself. David tells everybody, I'll go and fight him. And this is what Saul told him. You can't do that. You're just a little boy. The New Living Translation, I like it a lot. It says, don't be ridiculous. You're just a boy, and Goliath has been fighting since he was a boy. And David said, you don't know my God. You don't know what God has been doing in my life. And here's where Saul's false faith tries to come in on David. Look at verse 38. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. So Saul put his own tunic on David. Then Saul put a coat of armor on David and a bronze helmet on David's head. David fastened his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. New American Standard Version says David said he hadn't tested them yet. Saul put more faith in his weapons than he put in the Father. Saul said, you know what, if he's got an armor, I've got to have an armor too. And I think that's what happens to us when we get ready to face the Goliaths in our lives. When we get ready to face those warriors, you say, you know what, I can't do it because I'm not a warrior. I can't face this warrior because I'm not dressed like a warrior. He's got an armor, I need to have an armor too. And until I get mine, I'm not going out there. He's got a helmet, and until I get mine, I'm not going out there. But that's not the God we serve. The God we serve says a shepherd can fight a warrior, and you need to bank on the shepherd any day of the week. That's the God that we serve. God specializes in doing the impossible with impossible people. It's not your skills that make you useful. It's your weaknesses that make you usable. That's the difference. Skills make you useful, but your weaknesses make you usable. David said, I can't use this. I'm not a warrior. I'm a shepherd. Take this armor off of me. Look at what David says. Go back to verse 39. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. He took the staff in his hand, his shepherd's staff. He took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, and put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag. And with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. What God is trying to teach us through David is that it's not the armor that protects you. It's not the weapons that you use that will defend you. It's God. God is the one who is and will fight your battles. You can go in the battle with anything, and God can use that. You can go into battle just as you are. You can go into battle with nothing, and God can give you the victory. That's what God is trying to teach us. It doesn't matter what you have in your hands. It's who you have in your heart. It's who you pray to. It's who you believe can do amazing things. That's why David is so confident. That's why David is so bold. Goliath is three times his size, and he's not even worried about that because he knows he prays to the God of heaven. You've got to get the right weapons in your hand. You've got to go for what you know. I think a lot of times we try to get all this wisdom, we try to get all this experience before we go out and fight these battles. I want to challenge you on tonight, go back and look at the ways in which God has provided for you. Go back and look at the ways God has shown himself strong. What did God teach you through that last trial you went through? What did God teach you through that last experience that you just had? Use that. I think a lot of times we try to get all this wisdom, we try to get all this experience, we try to gather so many things before we go out and fight a battle, when the fact of the matter is you already have everything that you need. That's why the battle is in front of you right now. He's already provided everything that you need in order for you to be a conqueror. He's called you more than a conqueror in the first place. The fact that God is on your side means you can defeat any obstacle that is in front of you. You've got to get the right weapons. You've got to go for what you know. But not only that, you've got to get moving. And this is the part that I love. You got to get moving. I'm a firm believer that once you get the right perspective, once you see things from God's perspective, and then once you get the right weapons in your hand, it's time just to simply get moving. It's time to get the ball rolling. Once you realize that that obstacle isn't as big as you make it out to be, it's time to get moving. I can remember a time when I was going to Los Angeles with Corey, and we got on a plane, and I was just fascinated by looking out of the window, and I was telling Corey, I was like, Corey, this is amazing. Look at the 18-wheelers. Look at the cars on the road. I hate driving by 18-wheelers because they make me so nervous. I'm afraid that somebody's going to swerve or they're asleep or I'm going to get killed because you just see it on the news all the time. And I was saying, Corey, it's so intimidating seeing these 18-wheelers when I'm on the freeway, but you know, but from 20,000 miles up, they look like toothpicks. They look like little Jolly Ranchers. they look like nothing. And for like 5 seconds, I had a little bit of a God complex. I can thump that off of the road if I want to. But that's what the right perspective does, right? Goliath stops being that big when we have the right perspective. And when you get the right perspective and you get the right weapons, you've got to get moving. Look at what David did back in verse 48. David has given this speech. Remember how he said, and all will know that there is a God in Israel. God will give you into our hands. Look at verse 48. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David took off running. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. And I think that's what we've got to do. Once God gives us the right perspective, once God gives us the right weapons, there comes a time when you just got to run towards your problems. You've got to run face first towards your obstacles and say, this far, no further. I've budged long enough. I've avoided this long enough, but it's time I attack this head on. You've been attacking me for 40 days. It's about time that I showed you who I really am. It's about time that I showed you what God has said about me. That's what David did. He went for his problems head on. And I want to give us five practical things that we can do. David took his staff and five stones and a whole bunch of God with him. And it's about time that we did those things. I want to give you five stones, five smooth stones that we can do to face the Goliaths in our lives. It's an excerpt from T.D. Jakes' novel, He Motions. Talked a lot about Goliath and David. I want to give you five stones. The first is this: confront what's threatening you. Confront what's threatening you. Don't pretend that it will go away just because you don't think you can bear to face it. Don't be intimidated just because it's bigger than you are. Confront what is facing you. Level what you've learned in the past against what you'll face in the future. Level what you've learned in the past against what you face in the future. Don't look to be rescued by others or to find a secret somewhere beyond your reach. Recall yesterday's trials and how you've slain the giants in your past. Verse 34 says this, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both a lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who provided me, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. David was able to approach this warrior in confidence because he realized the skills that he got as a shepherd was exactly what he needed to fight this battle. Look back in your past and see what God has taught you. More often than not, it's exactly what you need to overcome the obstacle that's in front of you now. Number three, don't let the spectators and speculators break your focus from the real villain. Don't let the spectators and the speculators break your focus from the real vision. I am a firm believer of this, and God showed me this a few months ago, and it's just something that I just live my life by. Everybody is not going to believe what God tells you because everybody doesn't see what God shows you. Let me just say that again. Everybody does not believe what God tells you because everybody doesn't see what God shows you. David approached this king, David, a shepherd, from a different city, approached the king of Israel, of God's people, and said, I'll do what you can't do. Saul has experienced fighting battles. David has none. But David said, I've been a shepherd, and I've fought lions and bears, and I've seen God do amazing things. And whatever God did then, he can do now. And so you can't let people with their own assumptions and their own fears and the things that they've been through, their fears that hinder them, stop you from getting what God wants to do in your life. Don't let the spectators and the speculators break your focus from the real villain. Number four, never assume a problem is dead just because it's dazed. Never assume a problem is dead just because it's dazed. David took no chances. He took a stone and knocked down a 9-foot-tall man and said, I'm not taking any chances. David took out his sword and cut off Goliath's head. You will not be coming back. And that's what we've got to do with the Goliaths and the giants in our lives. We've got to put them in a place that says, this far, no further, and no, you can't return. We can't just do quick fix things. We've got to have permanent solutions. You've got to have accountability partners. You've got to implement some plan in your life that stops these things from coming back and attacking you on a consistent basis. Never assume a problem is dead just because it's dazed. And the last one, use your enemy's sword against him. Kill him with his own sword. Without stooping to unethical practices or immoral behavior, you should be willing to fight this with the same intensity level as your opponent. Learn what you can from your enemy and then apply it to his weakness. Let me close with this. 40 days, the Israelites and the Philistines were standing on top of these hills, and they are yelling back and forth at one another. The Philistines are prepared to fight, but the Israelites aren't. They are terrified. They are scared to death of Goliath. They are afraid that if they go and try to fight Goliath, Goliath is going to kill them. There are some Goliaths and some giants in some people's lives that they are afraid to face because you are afraid to face yours. The Bible tells us that nothing is new under the sun. And that means in some form or fashion, you and I have similar giants, similar Goliaths, and in some cases, the exact same ones. And people in your life, people who don't know Jesus or people who aren't as far along in their faith as you are afraid to face the giants and Goliaths in their lives because you are afraid to face theirs. But when we purpose to face those things, something amazing happens. Look at verse 51. It says, when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. 40 days, the Israelites haven't made a move. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and the gates of Ekron. They took off running. When they saw that the Goliath that was in front of them could be overcome, they got their energy back. They got their motivation back. They got their confidence back. Text says they chased him all the way back to Gath. Goliath was from Gath. When you choose to face the Goliath in your life, you can chase it all the way back to the root of the problem and stop it there. Once Goliath was done with these, Israelites said, you know what? We're going to go back to the source. Where did Goliath come from? We'll make sure this never happens again. That's what happens when we face the Goliaths in our lives. We can go back beyond that insecurity, beyond that depression, and say, okay, which city did you come from? Where did you come from? Because we're going to make sure you don't breed anything else. That's what we do when we face Goliath. That's when we go back to the root of the problem. We say, no, never again. We put to death those things. When you choose to face the Goliaths in your life, you honor God, you show God that you trust him and what he's able to do, but more importantly, you help your brothers and sisters. You become part of that great cloud of witnesses that Hebrews speaks of that allows us to throw off everything that hinders and that sin that so easily entangles and allows us to run with perseverance the race marked out with us. You choose to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And I guarantee in the days ahead, you'll be the better for it. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you for who you are. God, I thank you that there are Goliaths in our lives. God, there are giants that are hindering our relationship with you. Goliaths that are hindering our relationships with other people. Father, but I just pray in the name of Jesus for boldness, God. Boldness to look Goliath in the face and say, this far, no further. You've come back in my life whenever you've wanted. You've come back in my life too many times, and I am tired of it. The God of heaven, the God of the Hebrews, the God that I love and pray to and serve is on my side. And if God fights for me, you can't be against me. Father, I pray for boldness for these men and women. God, that they would face the challenges, face the obstacles in their lives because they recognize that you are fighting for them. You are fighting with them, and you love them. God, I pray that they would have more faith in you than they have fear in their circumstances. God, I pray for deliverance for them, God. Whatever they are going through, God, whatever obstacle it may be, God, that you would be their deliverer, God, that you would be Yahweh, you would be Elohim, you would be El Shaddai, the great and majestic God. You would be the Lord Almighty. God, give them the right perspective that you fight for them. God, give them the right weapons, God. And then, God, give them the courage to get moving to face those obstacles head on. God, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.